Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Craig Houston Talks To, episode 6, and I'm down in London town. Great guest for you today. Before we introduce the guest, just need to thank a few people that helped make this possible. Obviously, we've travelled down here, rent a studio down here, and if it wasn't for these businesses, we simply wouldn't have been here. So, thanks very much to George Smith Roofing from Irvine, to EW Executive Travel, to the Wise Man again from the East, and Sadler's Cellar in Falkirk, who are King William Wine Stockist and ship worldwide. And a massive thank you to W from Bermondsey and from Big F from Rangers. They introduced us, made this happen, so thanks very much to both of them. And as I say, if it wasn't for all those people mentioned, we just simply wouldn't be here. So without any further ado, it gave me great pleasure to introduce, it's surely going to be one of my favourite guests, I think, ever, Roy, the Lion of London Bridge. How are you, mate?
Nice to meet you.
Mate, as I say, it's a total pleasure and an honour having known your story from 6 years ago.
Yep.
And most of the people I know up in Scotland, hat off to you, what you've done during that day. You've got a lot of following up here, mate.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of nice messages over the last 6 years. Yeah. Which is
so I've made the amount of people have been in contact with me. Oh, great. Good to see Roy. Absolutely fantastic. So to get it started, Roy, if you could maybe just tell us a bit about your life pre-London Bridge. You know, where you were brought up, school, that sort of thing.
Brought up in Lebrun Estate. Born there, 1969, in Peckham. Lived there most of my life, till the age of about 20. So I brought up in Peckham area most of my life. Went to school in Peckham, St Francis School, St Thomas's. Also followed Millwall since the age of about 11, or before.
Was that an option for you, or was it everybody you're following?
It was an option, because it was the closest one to us. Yeah. Probably the worst team in London at the time. But it's the closest one to us, and it's stuck with us ever since.
Yeah.
And that was from an early age. Brought up in Peckham, a council estate, which... it's all we know, and good times.
Yeah, people do tell you, I was brought up in a council estate in the outskirts of Glasgow, and people tell you it was a deprived area, but it was not deprived to me at the time.
It's a good time for life.
And I'd imagine the same down here.
I think that was you to live in life sometimes.
So that's you, and then running a normal life, enjoying your football, going to the football, working away, doing different jobs.
Yeah, started work 16, big company, there for 20 years.
Yeah. A normal guy running a mill, and then bang, 6 years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago. I mean, before that, I was living down that way. I was staying at someone's place, just having a few problems, relationship problems. But someone put me up 2 weeks prior to that. Was the Millwall victory at Wembley, where I was staying at London Bridge. So that was quite Yeah, that was quite good. I'd been in the first season, or since then. But 2 weeks after that was obviously the terror attack, which, yeah, changed my life a little bit. Which 8 people died, 47 injured. I mean, that year was a bad year with the Westminster terror attack, the one at Manchester, which had the 60th anniversary last week. It was this week, sorry. And then obviously the London Bridge one. So 3 terror attacks within months. Yeah, it was bad. It was a situation where it could happen every week. But it happened to me. And he lost my life for it. They were stabbed many times that night. I'm saying 8 people lost their lives. 47 people got stabbed within 8-10 minutes. By 3 terrorists.
And just, I know it's maybe it's not a pleasant subject for you, Roy, but and a lot of people are so interested in your story. Could you just run through sort of your chronological order of that night? From, I know you were out before it. I've watched some other interviews you've done, and you were out to watch Champions League. Was that right?
Yeah.
And then you just moved from pub to pub, and you ended up in this restaurant. So, yeah. So could you just like maybe start from then and the lead up to?
It was a lovely day. I think it was the hottest day of the year. That day, the derby was on. I had a little win on the derby, which was quite a thing. I had some money to go out with that night. We played some, I think the Champions League was on. Can't remember who played in there, but. So we played some up match early on towards the Champions League. So that was good, but everywhere was packed around there. All the pubs were jammed like solid. So we watched the Champions League. We left there at half time because I had to pop home quick, get changed, get some more money, come back out. The people I was with, they've already left to go to another pub, so I had to go and find them. And in the end, we went to a pub. We didn't even watch the end of the Champions League. We went to a pub called the Market Porter, which we knew the manager was with us anyway earlier on. So we was watching there. We was having a few drinks in there. It's come to about half nine. I think the football finished by then. Just finished. And before he was cleaning up, the staff were cleaning up, he asked us to go over to the Black and Blue, have a couple of drinks before he had to do his work or whatever. So that's the reason why we went over to there. I goes, all right, we'll have one more, as you do on the way home. And that one more nearly cost me my life, which we couldn't see what was going on beforehand. We just joined a little couple of drinks at the bar, at the table there. And it's only when we started noticing that people were panicking in the restaurant. Even then we still didn't know what was going on, because it's quite a quiet place around there. Very busy, but very quiet area. And it wasn't until terrorists with suicide belts kicked the door in, because one of the staff did notice something from the restaurant to the other place, and she tried to lock that door quick.
This is, she's trying to lock everybody in for safety. So she's seen something.
She's seen something. She must have seen him going past that restaurant.
So what time of the night is this, Roy?
This is about nearly 10:10.
Yeah.
So she locked that, but they've kicked the door. They've come up then and kicked the door. And as they kicked the door, it's bent underneath, so they've climbed under. Now, people said, why didn't you do this? We're out of the way of seeing what's happening. We never knew what was going on. We never known what's gone on the last 10 minutes. But they've come through that little gap and they've climbed in. And that's when one of them started pulling that knife, stabbed me twice in succession as I got up. And that's when then I was just fighting for my life. And then the others joined in. And I am just fighting for my life. It's one of the things you have to do. You're gonna die anyway, I think. But luckily, I have got out there and tell the tale eventually. Okay. I've got stabbed about 8 times, slashed Chester over. But looking back 6 years, I survived it.
Yeah.
We'll come across in a minute about the mental side of it, the post-traumatic stress disorder, yeah. which was 3 years after, really got me.
Yeah. Obviously quite a traumatic situation.
Yeah.
And it, almost things happening instantly without time to react.
Yeah.
But can you remember much, I mean, obviously you've already told us about the guys have came in and stabbed you twice, yeah. and then the other two have came to help him. Can you remember much in detail from then, or does it a lot to you?
Even coming in to there, with a stabby, I mean, as I got up and started in trying to fight, my glasses have gone. So that's another problem. But also, I'm just fighting for life, and then after about 30, 45 seconds maybe, I've taken a good few stabbings more, pouring blood. I eventually began to run into the, restaurant bit behind the wall, and luckily one of the doors where was open where I went out of. Now I only knew that door was open when I saw the CCTV last year for the first time, because I never knew how I got out there. But I did get out there, that door was open, thank God. But also other people with me fighting them for 45 seconds has given loads of people to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Families with kids. Yeah, a situation where, I say it's easy now after so many years where I've had so many messages, if it weren't for me, other people would have died in there that night.
Yeah.
Not just myself,
So, at the time, you're saying now it's 45 seconds, at the time it must have felt like an eternity.
Oh yeah.
Trying to, you know, you've took on a guy, and am I right in saying, the guy stabbed you, you've took him on, and that his two pals basically came back to help him.
Yeah.
Which would have gave the other people in the restaurant time to get out.
It's because I was fighting the other two, thinking that the other bloke's come back, otherwise he'd be running straight into the other restaurant, and who knows what they could have done.
So, obviously, you've had the initial, the guys came in and stabbed you, you went ahead with him, his two pals have been distracted enough to come and try and give him some backup, and then you're in a bad way, and then you get to the door, and at this point, has everybody else managed to flee for safety?
They have done, a lot of people. There was still some, I think, hiding under the table, what I know of, under the tables, because a lot of them were, some of them were the other tables there, which thank God they never got touched.
But again, you probably gave the pause and time enough time for them to get out, get out of sight.
Yeah.
Incredible. So you fought the three of them, and again, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
In 45 seconds, if you're one of the other people in that restaurant and you're fleeing and fearing for your life, 45 seconds is a long time to get out. So you've given them that buffer.
Yeah.
So you're now at the point where you found a doorway to get out. What happens next? Can you remember?
I can't remember where. I must have went over to the pub where I was before. I think it's called the Market Porter, because that's who the people I was with. And I was banging on the door, but no one would open the door. They must have run all upstairs, above the pub, who knows. And I'm pouring the blood at this time. So I've started walking down towards, just walking off, staggering off from that pub. I see an ambulance car pull up. Slowly walked to there because I remember the blue lights. Because my eyes were, I was in and out of consciousness, plus I've had no glasses gone by then, pouring blood. I banged on the side of the ambulance window to help me, but he couldn't, he just drove off in the end.
Wow.
He drove off. I now know after the inquest that he was on another call. He didn't know who I was or whatever. But he drove off, and then I sort of like went into lost consciousness again until might have been half a minute after, or not long after, that the police armed response turned there. Or whether I was on that corner flagging them down within seconds, then they'd shoot, because I see them terrorists were coming back towards me again.
Wow.
They was coming down that road. I mean, we've got about 100 yards or so.
So you've got the police coming towards them, the armed response.
Yeah.
You're in the road, really, struggling for your life.
Yeah.
And 100 yards behind you, these three terrorists coming towards you again.
Towards you again, yeah.
Wow.
Luckily, the police got there first, and then the bullets started. I think 50 rounds of bullets, they were fired.
Flying over your head?
Well, the other time it woke me up was, because I must be laying conscious, was the police, but one of them telling me, get down. And they were pushing me down, I think, maybe.
Is this just before the rounds?
Yeah, start? Before the fight, before.
Now, see, how did you get away from them? Obviously, there was three on you in the restaurant, and then...
Yeah, after I got out there, they must have been half a minute behind me, I reckon. But there's three plainclothes old Bill police officers turned up. I've seen that on a YouTube thing where they went back and forwards. The police tried to stop them, and they run the police. So the police run away. And we're talking about another half a minute before they got shot.
Wow.
Yeah, the police run away.
So what caused them to take their attention off you? Did they think they had done you in?
Maybe they had three police officers.
Oh, of course they've died.
Maybe give me 15 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. But they run them back up that alley, the terrace, because they'd just come up, they're just plain clothes, just come off duty. They were the first ones there. And within half a minute, the armed response, three BMWs, they turned this thing, and all you could hear was me get down, and they're firing, and shot all three of them there in front of us.
You're seeing this happening?
I'm hearing it.
And you're looking at
something? Yeah, my eyes are a bit blurry because I'm in and out of conscious.
Yeah.
But I do remember that police, after them coming out of there, I remember the ambulance driving away from me and I just lost all the energy again. And I remember the armed response unit telling me to get down. And that loudness of them firing echoes through the market.
Yeah.
So that seemed like a very long time.
Yeah.
And apparently, and then obviously I must have been the local police turning up and I was blue lighted to local hospital.
So quickly. See, again, probably the hindsight, you mentioned that you've seen it since in CCTV.
Yeah.
I would imagine you're living that experience from the door getting kicked in to you being in an ambulance would have seemed like an eternity.
Yeah.
But in real time, do you have any idea now that you've seen CCTV and stuff? What was the timescale we're talking about here, Roy?
From when I got stabbed.
From them coming in the door.
Yeah.
To you getting in an ambulance.
We're talking about 2 minutes.
Seriously?
Yeah, 2.5 minutes, yeah.
Wow. But that's your life inside that 2 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Because when the inquest came, I do minute by minute.
Yeah.
And it was about 2.5 minutes from then.
Okay.
I mean, the old situation from when I was on the bridge knocking people over till they got shot was 8 to 10 minutes.
That was at the whole
thing?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Because you see that much footage. That when you see a piece, you think it's going on for half an hour or so.
Yeah,
seems like that. From the bridge, I think they knocked people down in the car to start with, and then
they crashed a van
until they were shot and dead, left for dead.
Yeah,
it was 8-10 minutes.
Yeah,
and they've killed eight people, and 48 injured.
48 injured, stabbed.
Incredible.
Yeah,
and frightening.
It's frightening. What could have happened? I mean, I believe they was going to Oxford Street. The original plan. It's only when they must have seen the Champions League game finish over, I must have seen how busy it was, see where it was. They decided to go back up along the bridge again. I believe with the bridges situation at that time, because there was that one at Westminster, the one at London Bridge, it's they build up speed or something to do these things. I don't know whether that's true or not.
It's because
Azor
does be too.
Yeah, it's just going by reporters, yeah. But when they got stopped, I mean, I was put in the back of a police car. Now, all I thought, I was being stabbed in the side because it kept flashing and flashing and flashing. And, when I got the police car, the police were saying to me, don't touch you here, because apparently it's hanging off. Me was hanging off, been stabbed in the neck. But all you feel at the time was this one here. I thought I was in a bad way. Well, I was in a bad way, but I just thought I'd been stabbed once.
So you know about this, but you're unsure
of the rest of the injuries.
Well,
all I've done is kept holding that one on the side, which, but I played two police officers that probably saved my life that quick. They're rushing me over bumps, which wasn't nice in this one.
I can imagine in your condition, any bump around the road was not a nice place.
I look back at the, she did show me the CCTV, kind of the bumps, and I'm banging my head up against her.
They're looking at you and thinking, we need to get him into your yeah. operating theatre yeah. pretty damn quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can forgive them for their unpleasant drive, I'd imagine, Roy. So you're in the... just in a car, or was it a proper ambulance?
No, it's just a proper car. Just normal.
Just threw you in whatever they could to get you get you to safety.
And they got me there, and I said, tell me not to touch my ears. And I went straight onto... They're waiting for me there. The main hospital was King's College, where they took all the other people. I think there was two or three people that went to St Thomas's, and I was one of them, which was the newest one to us.
Yeah.
The great, which I can't remember much in there, because obviously I was on the, whether they put you on ketamine, was it, or...
even adrenaline?
Yeah.
You only need many drugs to get your affect your psychology, your health. So, I'm just thinking, sorry to drag you back, but something's just hit me as I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You're saying this whole incident was 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And your part in the incident was two and a half, right? Yeah. So that means they've killed 8 people in 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
If they kept that ratio up, there was a few people in that restaurant, weren't they going to love me?
Yeah.
So that maybe gives you a bigger wow factor in the what you've actually helped create that buffer zone and having the knock-on effect to the people you've saved, because they've killed in 5 minutes, 8.
Yeah.
And then the next 2.5 minutes, because you intervene.
Next 2.5 minutes, they could have killed. They could have killed dozens.
Correct. But they didn't do anybody.
No.
Was there anybody that was in the restaurant that was injured?
There was one other that was hiding, two others that were hiding somewhere at the back, was probably watching me getting stored. He was because he was trying to time, he was telling everyone what the old terrorists were telling him to lay down and all this. Which turned out to be a load of... Didn't happen. And I think as they run out, one of them got caught in the throat by the knife, and another one got a little stab or something. But it's horrible that you're thinking, are these people hiding there watching me get... but then in the eyes, do people get involved? They're not like every day. It's one of those things where...
I think it's a big respect for you that... In a situation like that, I don't think you have time. You certainly wouldn't have enough time to get all the information and make a decision and then react. You've just reacted.
You've
given it the instinct. Yeah. And other people's instinct might be to go backwards, not go forward.
Yeah.
In
the right way, it probably was. Otherwise, your life's going to be...
You've just decided on going for it. Yeah. So, can you remember I know you've already mentioned about speed bumps and getting knocked about the car that they've been racing you.
Remember when waiting for a trolley at the other end, first put me on a trolley, I think they was cutting away at my clothes and all that. But I was in there, I was in there consciousness, which but it doesn't help a lot of your memory, because it's only a couple of bits I know from after that bit.
So I take it they rush you into theatre just to stretch you up and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think I had to go down for plastics the next day.
Right. So can you remember much about arriving at hospital, getting on the trolley? Is it a bit of your blood at this point until maybe the next morning and you're thinking, shit, I'm in intensive care here?
Yeah. Coming in sort of about 10:30 at night. So you don't know whether it's morning or night.
Yeah.
When you sort of like wake up. And then I remember going down again. Well, they must have done. They must have operated me on that night, and it was beautiful. I think so. Yeah.
You just stitch up your holes. You with a few holes in you.
Oh, there goes some good.
So
I can't knock them.
Can you remember waking up in the room in the hospital like the next day or that night?
Yeah, there was.
What the hell's going on?
It was intensive care, obviously. Is it CIU?
Yeah,
so we had someone there that obviously they're looking at us all the time, and obviously you're ill for a few days after, which was expected.
When did you become aware of how serious your condition was, Roy?
Probably 2 days after. I mean, probably on a Monday. I mean, a Sunday, I probably didn't know about a Sunday.
Yeah.
I probably...
Yeah, not Christmas,
maybe. Yeah, unless you're saying, but I mean, I could have went down Sunday as well. So Monday onwards, I started noticing on my hands, bands, you did. I went less with my arms. Case it was damaged for life. And when there no one really up there because it was one of armed guard.
Yeah, because at that time, you know, there's three involved, but they don't know many behind them, so everybody's trying to keep for your safety.
I went there no visits.
The family not allowed up?
There's a couple of people come up, which I don't really remember. Yeah. There's a couple of people said they come in there. But I couldn't remember. I was obviously sleeping or probably didn't take it all in anyway. But, from the Monday, then the Tuesday, the paper come out, the Sun, with the Pacquiao on the wall, headline.
You wouldn't make up a tagline, mate. That's
you can't ask for a better headline.
No, that's your headstone
even
comment.
Today, I was talking to a reporter sometimes and... He's a raw reporter there, so he's being good.
You obviously didn't give the papers that line. So where did the newspapers get that from?
That's something I didn't know until... It must have been half heard in the Western. I didn't know until last year, until I see the CCTV and heard it on the CCTV.
So, a lot of the, you know, that kind of became your catchphrase, yeah. And obviously you're in intensive care, you're out the way, you're probably don't know compassmentists till Monday and Tuesday, but this is hitting the papers.
Yeah.
So somebody must have told them, not you, which is,
it's good as it goes, because I might even ask him, like...
It's crazy.
Yeah, I might ask him where he got the...
because it's a lot of these things that might be the...
I think a lot of it has been faced on social media.
Of course.
My name started coming out on social media.
Yeah.
And I think then maybe he might pick you up. That sort of way.
Yeah. Because I remember as a football fan when it came out,
thinking,
go on, man. Go on, I don't know you from Adam.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I support I've had all over the country from every, probably every grand, every club.
Right. No, it was tremendous. But again, it's not as if you were the one filling that into this papers where some people might have, you know, that was nothing to do with you. You're still...
I'm still in a bad way.
So around about the Monday, Tuesday,
was
it just reading the newspapers that you actually started finding out how massive the situation was?
Yeah, how bad the situation
was. That must melt your head, mate.
Especially being in the room on your own most of the day. You're trying to sleep and you've got the nurses come in to check everything, like... it was mad, and eventually they did make me put me in a private room with a telly instead of a ward, just to give me a bit of peace and thingy. I didn't really think too much of it, I just thinking how many, you have a couple of little dreams in your head, is it going to happen again while I'm in here?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got security there on the case, which helps you.
But it must be one of the most sort of surreal moments in your life. You sort of wake up, start getting, you know, you're thinking, shit, where am I? I'm in a hospital. Christ, look at the stadium.
Especially when the day started nice, lovely, hottest day. Had a win on the derby and you're going out for a few pints, meet a couple of people and then surviving for your life. Which helped me up well. But I spent 10 days in hospital, which was good. I mean, bandaging me, couldn't move my arms. So, I mean, at the end of the day, your arms are useless as well. They're bandaged up. You have to ask people to... feed you, have a few drinks. Only for it took like a couple of weeks while I was there.
Yeah.
Because obviously I couldn't move my hands to cut anything. And, different things.
But I think that what you've been through mentally must have been really, really difficult. You know, just waking up after a day or two or in and out and then seeing in the Sky Sports News and reading papers and thinking...
But then you're thinking yourself, my brain isn't working then. what's happened.
Yeah. It's not.
I remember one thing, but then obviously the rest of it is blank. And till this day, I mean, even down that road before they got shot, I can never remember any of it. Only but people have told me what way I've gone with the CCTVs.
Yeah.
I mean, the police took every CCTV from there.
Yeah, I mean, other things, every angle's gone.
Yeah, it's a shame they haven't showed me everything even to this day, but you never know. I might still fight for that.
Yeah.
To the show.
So, you're in hospital for 12 days.
12 days.
And then you come out, you're obviously still got... I can remember you being on Good Morning TV,
Good Morning Britain was, I think, on about the 10th day, a couple of days before I was released.
Oh, did they take you from the hospital?
They took me from the hospital. I was going down for surgery in the afternoon.
Was that one with Pierce?
Yeah. They asked me to come on there. Wow. They'd done one where they talked to me on my phone.
Okay.
Quick. Then they asked me to come in. I had an operation in the late afternoon for my diaphragm. So I went in the morning, they picked me up. And they dropped me back. You had to get permission from the hospital to do that. But I went on there 2 days before.
I didn't realise that before you were actually released.
Yeah, I had to get permission from the hospital.
And again, that must be a surreal situation that you're...
It was surreal. And also, it was a relief that I wanted to get out there quick as well.
Yeah.
Just to get a bit of fresh air.
And you're sitting there with TV cameras in a studio, Piers Morgan, you must be thinking, somebody's just changed the channel here, my whole life's...
It's got a bit mad. I mean, I wish... Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, with Piers, you get what you out. You got what you got. And that was all good to me. I can't knock the people that we've done that thing for. We've been in there. I spoke to Piers. I've been to his house afterwards.
Last year.
I went over there. But even the crew, when I was on that day, I only had about half hour there or something. But it was all good to me.
Made you feel welcome.
Yeah.
Because that is, obviously I'm 400-500 miles away at the time, and it was just crazy that this guy, there was other stories, there was other things happening, there was other, you know, this guy helped here and this guy helped here, but it was a Roy story.
Yeah.
And I don't think, to be fair to you, I don't think it was just a fuck you, I'm Millwall.
Yeah.
I think that was the headline.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody remembers. But I think if you'd have taken that line out, your story was just so... Wow.
Yeah. So powerful. I mean, it's a powerful story.
And it's just, and then you were on the telly and then you're like, this guy's a legend.
Yeah.
And then, nothing prepares you for that.
No.
You didn't decide to become famous and practice being a singer for 20 years and then became a famous singer.
Right, yeah.
You went to the pub, a normal guy, that night to watch the Champions League with your mates.
Yeah.
And then, as quick as that, your life changed.
Changes.
You're then flung in the media and... How did you cope with that? Where was your head?
It was all over the place. Even thinking about Terry all the time and will it happen again? Because I'm there, my name's and my face is in the papers. It's still the terror thing is quite high.
Okay.
My name's been put up as saving up as an hero.
Yeah.
Am I going to be next on this thing?
Mm-hmm.
The police weren't very helpful, things like that. It was a fighting battle. It's a fighting battle that started the post-traumatic stress disorder started coming in quite badly. I moved down the coast, eventually get out of London, get away from it all. And then being on your own, it made things worse.
I mean, your mental health must have been in pieces at the time.
Yeah, because wherever you go, even people want to know, then talking to you. And your head's all over the place. You couldn't even look at people.
Because imagine if, and I can only imagine, at times you must just have wanted to think, you know, just shut up. Just stop the world.
Yeah.
But everywhere you go for months, maybe years after everybody wants to do what I've just done in the last 20 to 30 minutes. Tell me about that night.
Yeah.
And I think now you're 6 years down your journey, you seem very comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
But back then it must have been horrific for you.
I couldn't even look at you in the face, or I just want to look away from people and just don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
It's horrible feeling. Really horrible. I reckon if I was weak, people commit suicide doing things, just get away. Maybe I'm stronger and I'll get stronger again.
I don't think there's any maybes about it, mate. If you don't believe you're a strong character after what you went through, nothing will convince you otherwise, mate.
And I'm still fighting for things 6 years later. Mm-hmm. I could have injuries they haven't received from there. Because I had unspent convictions. I'm still going to be fighting for them. But the mental side of it, you're never going to get through it. You're still going to have your setbacks here and there. You're still going to have your anger at times. You're still going to have your phone about, or if you've got the amp. But it does get better.
And so, something, when all this was going about outside world with everybody was, you know, fuck you, I'm all on rising, did you have any inclination of what was going on outside? They appreciate what was going on now, that the whole place was going right mental.
I don't remember what was going on in my bed. That's it.
True. And when did you realise that all these people working down the country were just like rising up?
When I went down for a coffee, I said an old woman come up to me and started cuddling me. And
is this in the hospital?
Yeah.
Wow.
Started cuddling me and said thank you, and that was quite good.
Is this maybe a weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, that weekend I went down to have a coffee and to meet a couple of mates downstairs. And like I say, the old woman didn't cut to me.
Melt your heart?
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. Of course.
And then you're thinking, how does she know about me? I mean,
we're talking about worldwide.
Aye.
Hello.
And this woman, you must have been thinking, well, how does she know about me? I mean, it was covered in Australia, it was covered in America, it was covered
everywhere.
Yeah. And you don't know.
No.
And this wee woman comes up and you start going, well, how does she know about me? And then, obviously, it starts filtering in that this is a worldwide
phenomenon. It was nice. And then you get back at, then I stayed with my little girls for a little while. That's how I found a place myself, got me a place. And it was nice, just a bit of help. And then you get stopped all the time and things like that. Even dad's football, going again. People want to know stories, you have to keep telling it. But at that time, it weren't that good to tell because you weren't in a fight frame of mind.
Yeah. It would have been a tough thing. I mean, you seem a lot easier.
Well, see, yourself, I'm just trying to get the story right in my head.
Yeah, of course.
And I'll get out of there. And it was only until last year that I see the CCTV that I knew that I got out of there.
You're hearing things in the media and your pals are telling you stories at the end and you're trying to piece the whole thing together. I'm going to ask you a tough question here, Roy, and because of the respect I've got for you, if you're not comfortable answering this one, just nudge your head. Did you ever get what they call survivor guilt, the survivor syndrome, where you think, well, why was it not me? Did that affect you in any way?
Why is it me that done it?
No, why? How come 8 people died and I'm still here?
Yeah. You can look at it that way. And over the years, it has got easier, probably, how they died. The coward way of the people done it to them. Knives, I should have died. 3 of them attacking me with knives. Luckily, I fought them.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
At the right time, and I survived it, which was...
So you can take the positive out of that.
Yeah.
Because I know some people in similar situations, like maybe aircraft,
Yeah, I mean, three against one.
Warming systems.
You've got to be stupid to really carry on fighting.
Yeah.
You can try and get a couple of things in.
Maybe that's why you're still here, mate.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that struggle you
yeah.
put up,
yeah.
you maybe just put one through.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, it did with several other people that night. But that's good, because I've heard of this survivor guilt that some people can have, like 9/11, terror attacks, aircrafts coming out of the sky, and somebody, and they feel really guilty.
Yeah.
But it's good that you can say, well, I survived it, and be thankful for that, rather than feeling guilty that you did.
I think time takes that, it does that for you. Over time, it does get easier.
Yeah.
Depends how you want to take life. I mean, I've changed my life around where instead of going to pubs all day, I'll have a couple of things like that. So it does help in one way. You have to slow down in life.
What age were you back then?
47.
So. And these guys were what? Late 20s?
Late 30s, yeah.
You got a bit of fitness on you then,
mate? And there was loads of steroid up.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, there was on steroids, so they weren't even fought. Yeah, I was like, must have been eating them. They probably just standing there still.
Well, you could have had them a knife and they probably would never have.
Yeah.
And did you get a hold of any weight in a chair or anything at any time?
Yes, yeah, I went back the other week. And chairs are heavy. You couldn't even lift them up.
So there was no chance of swinging a chair?
No, because people say that, why didn't you grab this, why didn't you grab that? It's so quick, it's that quick.
You've saved your life and numerous other
people. There's stories come out about,
And you've done it. Reacting that quick.
Yeah.
And the reaction, as I already said, but for the grace of God, I don't know how I would react in that situation.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
No.
But you could go that way or you could go back away.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I think if you went back away, you might not have been here today.
Yeah.
And there certainly would have been people in that pub wouldn't be here today. That must fill you with pride, mate.
I'm proud of some of all the messages I'm getting. I think if it weren't for you, I'm still alive from people work there, I finally got from the Royal Humane Society. They awarded me by Royal Approval the Silver Medal, and a nice statement said, "The untold hero of the attack."
And that's true. I mean, there was other people that day who have had.
There's people there who've got. Bravery Award medals, even for helping just nowhere near there.
Yeah.
Even my name wasn't even mentioned hardly much in the inquests. Things
and
like that.
I don't want to turn a positive podcast into a negative, so I'm not going to go down the road of some of the reasons why. But what I'd again seen from 500 miles away was that thing that the British public, the British media are good at. We make somebody a hero.
Yeah.
And then we want to shoot them down.
Yeah.
And you would need to have been a saint for the 47 years before it, for somebody not to find something that could, but the whole media, the whole country want to put you up on a pedestal at 10. And then somebody somewhere says, oh, do you know what, let's see if we can make him a 7 or 8 or a 6 or 5.
And if they do that, after that little thing with the dogs at the Elephant Castle, that was 6 months prior to that. Why they done that afterwards, as I just come out of hospital, they put that up. Me being a racist attack, which I've been followed with on a march. There was a local march going on. I'm walking the dogs, got into an argument. But 6 months, why didn't they do anything about it 6 months before?
Yeah.
They'd done it 6 months after. I even got nicked for it.
After the?
Yeah.
Wow, so after London Bridge?
Yeah, they showed me, they put a video up online, and then the police called me in. And I got nicked with racial.
They didn't go anywhere though, did they?
Yeah, I got caught.
But you never got never got guilty, did you?
Yeah, got guilty.
For that?
Yeah.
I've seen the video.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a fine, I think. Then that plays on your head, you got that. Then you try to fight for help. I've gone to the local MP, where they got, said something to him, he's reported it. Got a 2 year banning order from anywhere in Southwark. So everything was piling up again. You're meant to be.
This is at a time when you're probably dealing with post traumatic stress without any help.
No.
And all that shite's getting flung on top of you.
Yeah. It was only last year that I actually got help with psychiatrists which was quite good. We went over things.
This is 5 years later?
Yeah, 5 years later. Which should be done straight away.
Of course it should.
Should have.
If you were a police officer or a fireman or an ambulance driver or a paramedic and you had the injuries and went through the experiences you had that night, you'd have probably got as much help and support you could probably cope with or want. But because you were a member of the public, you get nothing.
Nothing. It's wrong. Yeah, it was wrong. It's wrong.
Do you know something, mate? Again, this is something I'm picking up just through talking to you. Mm. I hold you in so much admiration for what you've done that night, right? That's heroic.
Yeah.
But see now, the moment I speak to you and I'm learning your story, I've got equal admiration that you actually made it after that as well. Because, you know, I've had issues, you know, I think it's a lot of people these days have issues with mental health and or know people that have issues with mental health. So see from the incident over the next 3, 4, 5 years, however long it took you to get to the police yard just now, that's an admirable journey, mate.
Yeah.
Hat off to you. Without really any help. And if anything, the total opposite. Mm. You're getting folks shouting on you from very high above with, you know, these stupid cases and refusing your compensation and, you know, trying to make you out in the public as a bad person.
Yeah.
Hat off to you, mate. I don't know really how you've coped with that.
It was a battle, and I've coped with it. And hopefully now we'll start enjoying life and everyday life, normal.
Incredible.
I'm still fighting for things, as you know.
Yeah.
So,
was it right you were on some ISIS list at some point? Or was how does that news get delivered to you?
It was because I was being looked after by Prevent. Now, Prevent come on to me, said, because I said something at probation, they decided they wanted to send me the courses.
Now, Prevent is for people who they believe have been radicalised.
Yeah.
This isn't a support group for people that have been involved in the other end of the terror attack. This Prevent is a programme there that's to try and de-radicalise people.
Which has been a very bad programme lately, isn't it?
And you get put on that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. The bloke we used to do the courses with, we used to talk about football instead of actually, because he said they should be helping you socially more than putting you on these things, helping you find somewhere to live. And
so is it the society in the UK, the only really thing that you got out of this was to get put in a course for people who are radicalised?
Yeah.
This is just bonkers.
It's like mad.
And how long after the incident is this stuff?
The year after.
Well.
Yeah,
and through that, you then found out that you were at risk, or potentially at risk.
Yeah, yeah.
And what support did you get at that point?
Nothing. They was maybe looking after me as well, and just nothing. They caused more probably trouble than whatever they did.
So they've dropped this bombshell that you maybe not considered. You could now be a potential target for a very, very scary group of people.
Yeah.
And will not help you.
Yeah, or it could be getting it wrong and it's in my head. That, do I go out? Do I keep looking over my shoulder all the time?
Well, I've just walked the length of what's the name of that?
Stockwell
Street with you. You know, a good 5-10 minute walk. Yeah. I didn't see a paranoid man.
No.
I didn't see somebody that was scared. So you've finished that journey, you're in a nice place with that now.
Yeah, that's before. If I see 3 blokes with beards across the road, I maybe would have bought over the outside of the world. That's how much you
and that's not a racist thing, that's a factual thing, because the guys that night were dressed in a way and fashioned in a way that you would have that ingrained in your head.
Yeah.
If the guy had came at you and was dressed up as Mickey Mouse, then you'd be probably scared of Mickey Mouse, you know, at least a bit cautious of Mickey Mouse for a few years after. So, you know, I think the way even that gets portrayed
sometimes. It does, it hits your brain a little bit where some people maybe that wouldn't even recognise. Mm-hmm. It does it, yeah. But we've gone past all them. We've gone past it. The only damage I've got in my brain now is watching Millwall.
How are they doing, all right?
Was until the other week. We had a chance for the playoffs and we blew it.
Right. See, after the terror, so it's happened in the Champions League, so it's the end of the season, basically.
2017, yeah.
And then we've got a couple of months with no football. Yeah. When were you fit enough to go back to football?
I went the first home game.
They give me, next season?
They put us all on a pitch.
So that'd be what, the August?
Yeah, they put us on a pitch, give us a medal.
Mobile did?
Yeah, for the chairman. Wow. That was quite nice. That was quite nice. Went a couple of away games. Then the home games started coming in a bit much, where you're missing after football. People asking you stories, people want photos, things like that. And you're not enjoying your football no more.
And people don't mean any harm by it.
No, they don't.
So, you know, it's hard to go just...
Yeah.
But, I can get that, I can understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because, you don't even know the full story in your mind. It's only over the years that I'm picking up things more and more.
Yeah.
And you just want to get away from it all. But football, again, next year I'll try and go a lot more. I mean, I've got a season ticket. Mill will give me a season ticket for last
month. Is that true? They
give me five years, they give me a season ticket.
I've seen some things that Millwall have done recently.
Yeah.
I mean, I've no secret I'm a Rangers fan, and Rangers are a sort of unique club up in Scotland that we embrace Britishness.
Yeah.
You know, which is slightly different for a lot of teams up in Scotland. And some of the stuff I've seen recently that Millwall Football Club have done, and I just think, that is a proper football club.
Yeah. It's a good community football club. Mm-hmm. And they've done a lot of things. They even had, like, God Save the Queen King come out singing on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we do all that with Armed Forces Day and Remembrance Day and all that stuff that our club But, you know, stuff like that that you're saying, there's clubs that, because of what happened after it and the nonsense that was in the newspaper and trying to take you for a hero at 10 and a 5 or a 6, there's probably some clubs that would be thinking, you don't need to get Roy at arm's length, but just straight in there.
Straight in there, they'll cover me quite well. And they'll give me last five years, season ticket. So.
And that'll keep going on?
Yeah. And the chairman's been at first year, he was on the phone for him for about half hour, chatting to him one afternoon. So, it's all good.
You went originally and then, got a bit tough for you because everybody's wanting to talk about a situation that you're wanting out of your mind. I can totally understand why.
Yeah,
you could maybe stop and come away from it. Yeah. Nowadays,
I've had all the home games.
It's quite easy.
I've got to try. If I do after away games next year, I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in Millwall doesn't know you?
No.
All these ex-players and stuff. Everybody knows Roy.
Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
He's nice, isn't it?
I bet it is. And listen, well deserved.
Yeah.
When I was telling some of my pals who... I was coming down to London to interview them. I was like, wow. It's funny because I never had to see Roy. The line of London Bridge.
Yeah.
Like, you got to meet Roy.
Yeah.
We're talking 6 years later, mate. The guys that are 500 miles away.
Yeah. It's not bad, dude. I mean, actually, I got the Well You Mind Society medal.
Have you actually got that now?
I'll get it next year, I think. I think they just missed out on this year's presentation. But also, the George Cross has been nominated for the George Cross again, which I've got a lot of support for that.
Good.
I'm going to see an MP tomorrow to try and get more support.
Mm-hmm. And who can people support that? Is it
if you watch the honours list, honours society, the honours office, and just nominate myself...
Has a people from that night been given that award?
Yeah.
For doing less?
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Yeah. Three police officers have been given that award. 2 years after, there was convicts on a day release. They've been given the Gantry Awards.
So did you have a convict on day release?
Yeah.
Got an award before you?
Yeah. That was 3 years after the Marwa. So, I mean, we're still fighting. We'll keep fighting.
Yeah.
I'm quite confident I'll get there in the end.
What we'll do once the video's all edited online, we'll put some stuff out so the folk up north can wider audience can maybe pick up on that. They're not aware of these things, because that's good that the public can get behind you with that.
Yeah.
And that'd be really
but things are eventually coming. I mean, in life, you do want them relaxing days. You do want a normal life and things. And it's nice to be people stopping in the street. I've got time for people, give them 5-10 minutes. Why not?
Now that you can cope with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I can totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you for the messages. Yeah. And while we're on here, I mean, if anyone else sent me messages, I appreciate every one of them.
Because having been inside some dark areas myself, sometimes people say the nicest thing without them realising. If you say, like, thank you, something as simple as a thank you just now when you're on a normal even keel,
yeah.
have a little positive to you. You see, when you're down there, sometimes that thank you can have a dynamic effect on your state of health.
Well, I was just listening to stories where people said they was in there that night with me.
Incredible.
And I'm thinking, you're lying.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, I haven't got the strength to tell you, do you lie? Why would you say you was with me that night? It's all different stories that been passed over years, and it's crazy.
And have you met any of the people that were in that restaurant that night since? Any of these strangers to you before?
There was a couple of stallholders I known for a while. There was one bloke with us, he died 2 years after that one, an old bloke.
He was in your company?
He was in your company. That's probably why I stood where I was, I think.
Serious?
I think I mentioned that before somewhere, straight after.
Because he's out at the time.
Yeah, so when I was in the CCTV, I looked over my shoulder to make sure. I think he was there, yeah. So I think that was mainly the why. Because he's quite old. But poor son died of cancer a couple of years after. But I still talk to his boy and that.
Do you think that was in your subconscious that he was there, he was ill at the time? He's,
I think so.
I mean, fair play.
I think so. Well, I looked over the shoulder.
So, this CCTV, when did you see this stuff? Was this like two years ago?
Last year.
Wow.
Last year.
What's the impact does that have in your head?
I don't believe they're still showing me all of it. They still haven't shown me all of it. Where down that road, where the father got shot. Might be some reasons, I don't know.
But have you seen the footage from inside the restaurant?
Inside the restaurant, yeah.
Now that must, you're watching yourself getting chopped up, mate.
Yeah.
How do you cope with that?
It's something I wanted to do.
You wanted to do it?
Yeah, because I mean, it was in a better place, and it's in a better place now, another year later. I'm prepared, yeah. Nothing's going to scare me or worry me again.
So I'm trying to get this in my own head.
Yeah.
Sitting down, watching a TV screen, watching myself getting stabbed.
Yeah.
That was just...
But then coming out of that door, I found out what door I come out of. But even then the police said, we don't know which way you went. Well, you know what way I went, because...
Oh, you picked me off the ground 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying that I would probably struggle to watch myself getting stabbed. Did you get a bit of closure out of it then?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah.
Just piecing together
the story. Even what door come out of. Because I go back there to the market quite a lot.
Yes.
I walk the dog down the Thames, and I walk past them doors, not knowing which one I've come out of. It always played on my head. So now I know how I've come out of, I know which way I went. And it's a final disclosure, but it still will never go away. It's something I've done the right, which you should be proud of it.
Well, you've been through this traumatic experience, you've tried to piece it together over the years, you then, a couple of years ago, eventually, after 4 years, get your... watch yourself in CCTV, which I just can't comprehend, mate. I'm struggling with that. I mean, that must have been... But I understand how you... It helped you.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you frequently walk by that area again?
Yeah, I walk by there. I mean, we were going to have a little drinking there, I think, on the anniversary on the 3rd of June.
What were the group that was in it that night?
No, a group I go football with.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, can't make sure I thought with, 20 of us so far, I think. So I'm always walking by that way. I know the stallholders for a long time on there, some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit too pricey to go drinking every day there, but...
Is it about upmarket now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all changed around there.
Yeah, I think a lot of cities are funny that way. We were talking about it coming down here. And there's a lot of areas in Glasgow the same that 20, 30 years ago, you maybe wouldn't feel safe walking down. And now the house, the flats are,
million pounds,
And in Glasgow money, hundreds of thousands of pounds, which is the same idea as, so it's amazing that the city's to do that. So you're going down here 3rd of June?
Yeah. I mean, the first one after, I had all the MPs there, things like that, which wasn't nice. I mean, it's the anniversary, but it was more to do with who's there, really.
people there for a picture.
Like Colby and Abbott, Don Abbott and that.
They're there for a photo op.
Well, I mean, if you've seen the stories after, they're on the same platform as Terrace, which...
Yeah, you looked uncomfortable with that, didn't you?
Yeah, like it at all.
Somebody gave me this nice thing. Thank you, mate, at the station. I've seen some snippets of it. How did the book come about, mate?
Last year, I started bit about poor social media again, which I feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I was being a bloke there has been trying to follow me for the last couple of years to see if I wanted to write a book about it.
Yeah.
I've also had two other authors asking me if I wanted to do something. I decided to go with that Dean Rinaldi, which is a ghostwriter. He wants to try and get a book in to make my story, but also turn it into, like, it's a version for maybe a film or something later in life.
Mm-hmm.
He's based in Fethiye, which is in Turkey.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a retired, he's a ghostwriter.
Oh.
He's done books on the craze and things like that. So I went with him, and I did go with him. And we got there last December, just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was nice going over the thing again, as we are now.
Yeah.
That was part of my psychology side of it, to keep going over things. If you remember stuff, it'll make things easier.
Mm-hmm.
We did go over it, got the book out of it. Book's gone quite well. Try and get it into a bookshop one day, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean.
So, did the process of writing the book help you?
Yeah, going through it. And
how long did that process take from, you know, the first interview to the book actually being printed for you?
About 5 months.
Is that quick as that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it did quite quick. We had quite a few video chats, even on the phone, things like that. And, yeah, it's gone quite quicker than what I thought.
So, would you maybe have a chat from about an hour or so, open and, you know...
Yeah, sometimes for 2 hours.
And then would he sort of write up what came from that and present it?
Because he's a ghostwriter, he will put it in his own well.
So would you see the book, like, a few chapters at a time, or did he present you with the full book when it was finished?
We went back and forth.
Yeah.
So we went forward, and then maybe back.
Yeah.
And maybe ones we didn't miss out.
Right.
And then there's moments where probably wish I'd maybe put that in instead of that one, or... things like that, and he was trying to get out for Christmas, for the Christmas book.
The process helped?
Yeah, it's all good.
And you're proud of the book?
Yeah.
Quite happy with the way it finished?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I
think he's done brilliant, he's come out quite well. Yeah.
It must have been a good repair thing for you as well, just getting that process. And do you feel, I don't think you can ever get back to Roy before that Roy ever again.
No.
I think your life in the split second, your life was never going to be the same again.
No.
Because of the courage and the story getting out and whatever. But do you feel mentally you're back?
A lot better, yeah.
Are you comfortable with you now?
And I know that I don't really stress in life. If I really stress, I know I still probably deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go backwards and I'm going to have a nice holiday year and relax. My football's always going to be on. Millwall will never give you a relaxing time.
Football fans, mate. It's,
It's
part of the journey. It's a rollercoaster.
Yeah, and hopefully try and fight the things I'm entitled to if I can. And actually slowly get on life and live a few more years there.
Yeah.
And if there's a terror attack again, do the right thing.
Well...
What's the right thing?
Well, listen, mate, I think...
I mean, like me, mate,
Sitting here talking to you, I think your split decision was go forward or go back.
Yeah.
Now that I've spoke to you, I've got a better idea of what actually happened that day, and you've seen the CCTV, if you'd been back away, you might not be here today, mate.
You might have even brought that book up that day, learned to run.
Seen the photographs?
Yeah. He brought it up about 2 days after I was in hospital.
There's a tip.
Learn to run.
No, that's great, mate. And a pal of mine asked me, he said, Nate asked Roy, mad Rangers fan like myself, he's like, Roy, any favourite Scottish football teams? But do folk in London actually care about Scottish football?
No.
They don't, do you?
No, I don't really. That's a good one. What was it when I used to look? Yeah, I'll go back for like the '80s time.
Yeah.
I mean, Majors are, I mean, always the biggest team, are they really, and things like that. I used to look back at one small one, I can't remember what it is, I will get there, I'll find out what it was. Oh. It used to be in my head, like a team.
Aye.
I can't remember, it used to be always one there. And
well, I'll tell you what, there's a load of guys up in Glasgow that
have... They've asked me to come up there many times, yeah.
Up there. Without getting into names, there's been Rachel Palliers, boyfriend down here, that he's had them twice up in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Loves it. Just loves it.
Yeah.
We'll definitely
do that maybe next season.
Yeah,
I'll come up.
You need to let me know and we'll put some special word for you, mate. But, Roy, I just was blown away.
Yeah.
Right, this whole process of talking to you. I mean, I think the first time you and I spoke was probably less than a week ago.
Yeah.
Maybe about a week ago. And that's through, you know, W for Bermondsey.
Yeah.
Big F for Rangers. And the whole process has been crazy because I was like right away when Big F's like, do you fancy going down into, and I'm like, what? Are you having a laugh? That's a possibility. To then, you know, meeting you, talking to you a couple of times, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Yeah.
Awe-inspiring. I think your story, if your story can inspire people, then I don't know many stories that can. Yeah. It's frightening.
I mean, the next thing probably will be a film. Who knows?
You think so? Who's going to play?
I'll say Mr. Bean.
Come on, mate. What about George Clooney?
Maybe. That'd be nice with the little grey bits.
He can lose a bit of weight, but...
It would take bit by bit. It does happen. If not, it'd be nice.
Right. It's just blowing my way, this.
It'd be nice to have a walk somewhere later in life and just...
You said earlier when we were coming down to the studio that if you've got a bit of money about you, one of the things you might do is go abroad.
I think so.
Would you not miss the Millwall?
Yeah, I would. Every other time I come back.
Is that right? Just come back a couple of times.
Who knows? I mean, I love the hot weather, things like that. It's something that maybe I should have done straight after.
You think?
Why run away from things? This is your life. This is my life. This is my town. I've lived the whole time.
I genuinely don't know how you got from, let's call it day zero, that's the instant, up to sort of year two and three. And as I said, that you know, I've been inspired by your story from that night, which was 2.5 minutes of pure bedlam, right? But see now, getting to know you a bit better, see the story from there over the next 2 or 3 years, that's as inspiring, mate.
Yeah.
Do you get that? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And you've got to have a bit of pride in that you've got through it.
That's when you've done battles.
You've not had that battle with Ages 3 terrorists, mate. No. You had fucking battles.
You're battling your head and... answering it back all the time. And
I mean, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a guy that knows much of you personally, but I think looking at the guy that's in front of me today, I think you're there. I don't think
I'm there. And then once, I want more now, I want to go more forward, upwards, but never going backwards again. Once you go backwards, it's over.
So what's next for Roy?
Relax a little bit. Still chasing things up. I've relaxed while the football season's off. I've got another day coming up, a couple of weeks, going to enjoy that. I think that's... I love an holiday. I did have one for 5 years after the terror attack. I've started that one again, and I love them.
No, I think you deserve them.
And just take bit by bit. Because trying to book and try and put it out there, see many film producers want to pick it up.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't
it? Yeah. That's a goal for me to pick up, like, go and do that. That's what the author told me, go and write off to certain things and push a book forward.
Yeah. That would be another surreal moment in your life, sitting there.
Yeah.
The opening night, and there's George Clooney sitting. It's gone like that. Fuck you. Can you imagine him? I can't imagine George Clooney
doing
that, but actually.
It'd be better to watch
me
back, wouldn't it?
Aye, that would be incredible.
They could do well with Eddie the Eagle.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Would you be able to call it Fuck You or Millwall? That's the maddest thing again. And again, I didn't get it in my head.
And with the George Cross there, if that comes along, which is a possibility. You never know, I mean, it goes a level step up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's been nice after 6 years.
No, I think that's a minimum. When you know that other people have got it for less, then it's not you trying to push and look for more.
Then the last one was Royal approved. I think it's got to be Royal approved now with this one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, crap day, I'll let you sign anything off.
Aye. So, mate, I don't think I can put into words how much respect I've got for you as a person. Your story's just incredible. If you could go back to that day 6 years ago, and not necessarily just on that day, but is there anything you would change between then and now?
You can't. I don't think it's the way it's gone. I don't think you can look back and change. It's happened. The other things have happened, go backwards, whether they're my fault or not, as well, no help. No, you can look back and there were the bad days afterwards. Mm-hmm. Just go forward. Just keep going forward. Don't go back to them dark days.
Yeah. No, after you, mate. Well, look, Roy, unless you've got anything you want to say.
No. No, thanks for having me on your show. Hopefully next year I'll come to Rangers next season. We're going to Rangers game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll come up for the weekend. And it'll be nice to say thank you to a couple of people up there that have a lot of messages support from up there as well.
Yeah, no, I bet you have. No, that would be great.
So,
no,
thank you to everyone up there.
But no, mate, I think your story, it's just, it's awe-inspiring. It's crazy. It's bizarre. It's surreal. It's so many stuff. And I feel as if I'm trying to oversell this. I'm not, but I had so much respect and awe for you before coming down, but this thing's just hit my head.
Yeah.
That the fight you had on that night was incredible.
Yeah, it was. Right?
But the fight you've had from then for the next maybe 3-4 years, at least, are as incredible.
It's still maybe for the next year or two.
Yeah.
Trying to fight for things.
Yeah, but no, mate, I think, as I say, I'm not a psychologist, but the guy in front of me looks a well-balanced guy that's fought his demons.
Probably why I've got so bad bloody eye pressure, blood pressure.
Your blood pressure. I think I see a comfortable guy that's comfortable now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, 2 years ago, a year after it, you know, these things would have fucked your head up.
Get back normal or above. But don't go too far, too quick. Just keep on the level I'm on. I'm happy.
Great. And one last thing. What's your proudest moment so far?
Since then.
Yeah.
Probably on my daughter.
Good.
And then obviously the more messages I've read about it, the more people I've saved. Even though myself, it's good. It's good.
Incredible. Well, mate, listen, I will pals for life now.
No problem.
Love you a bit, mate.
Appreciate it.
An absolute star.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.